It's episode 1203 of the CoasterGallery.com podcast. Thanks for listening. Got a question about what's with the numbering. Instead of doing them sequentially, I'm doing them by year. So instead of saying podcast one, it was 1201. So, you know, humor me. I'm still learning this. So we're calling today 1203, March 19th, 2012. Couple things for today. Quick photography tip, discussion about the future of Disney World, and a little preview about what's coming to CoasterGallery.com. So here is a photography tip you can use on any camera. Straight, level, horizontal. Here's what I'm talking about. I hate, despise pictures that are just a little bit crooked. Drives me crazy, especially if you're taking things with vertical or horizontal lines like roller coasters or buildings or really anything with a horizon in it. So either I want to see things perfectly straight up and down, or I want it way crooked. There's a real hot look these days of shooting portraits like 20, 30 degrees, all slanty. You know, fine. If you're going to have it slanty, be way slanty. If you're going to have it straight, be straight. But if you tip things just a little bit, it drives me insane. It looks sloppy. It looks like a snapshot. If you want to look like you took the picture, just get it a little off. If you want to make it look like you made the picture, make it look horizontal or vertical. So how do you do this? Well, the first thing is just look through the viewfinder. Make sure things look level. You could also get a little bubble, kind of like a carpenter's level. You could put it on a hot shoe if you've got a hot shoe on your camera. You may just be able to tape something or do something that helps you find it level. Some advanced camera models like a 5D or a 7D if you shoot Canon, and I'm sure Nikon has similar models, actually have a digital leveler that they have a display in there to help you assist getting it level. If you're like me and you shoot a little bit right hand heavy and everything's tilted a little bit clockwise, you can fix it in post. I'd rather have you shoot it perfectly and not have to digitally edit it or digitally alter it, but you know what? It happens. There are a lot of programs out there. If you're using something like Photoshop or Photoshop Elements, you could type in there rotate clockwise or counterclockwise and then add a degree. It's a little bit of trial and error. Add a degree or two, and then you maybe enough, maybe not enough, maybe too much. You may have to try it again. Some programs like Lightroom and I believe Aperture let you on the screen just grab it and rotate it and spin it as much or as little as you want, which is wonderful. Some programs even have an auto leveler like Lightroom. If you draw a line along something that should be vertical or should be horizontal, it automatically makes the whole picture rotate the required amount. So wonderful, wonderful tool. I hope that's a helpful tip. That's something you can use on any camera, from a little handheld point-and-shoot to a cell phone to a $10,000 top-of-the-line camera. And better yet, really doesn't cost anything, just a little bit of your time. Get the horizon horizontal. Get anything that's vertical, vertical, unless you do it way slanty. So another interview with my brother Jeff. We're going to talk about the future of Disney World. There have been a lot of rumors swirling around. I alluded to it in last week's podcast. They had a big announcement about Avatar coming to Disney, and it might not happen if some of the rumors are true. So let's talk to my brother Jeff. Again, the audio, not so good. I promise it will improve, but bear with me. We got a couple minutes to talk about the possible future of Disney World. Well, it's time for another quick chat with my brother Jeff to establish Jeff's credentials. How many times do you think you went to a Disney park this year, Jeff?
I don't even know. This year only a couple times. This year's new, but
okay, how about last year?
Florida, a couple years ago, 200, 250. I have no idea. Sometimes just like, hey, what do you want to do this afternoon? Let's go to Disney. Okay.
Wow. Well, that's a lot more than the twice I went last year. So, what's coming to Disney parks? Just to do a quick reset, Orlando was overwhelmed by the Harry Potter stuff the last year.
That's an understatement.
Every time I go to Florida, I am amazed at the amount of advertising I see. And even, you know, living in the Midwest or in the Western United States, you still see Harry Potter stuff all over the internet, all over TV. So Disney has to compete with that.
Well, so what? I don't even think Universal knew how big that was going to be. I think they had high hopes, but you know, I've seen reports that, you know, some of their money guys were projecting a lot of the, you know, what they expected for the first year at Universal, and they projected the amount of merchandise that they did sell in the first year. And I read they met those projections in like literally 6 weeks. So I think that even they were unprepared for just the crazy level of success that Harry Potter was going to bring.
Well, I know there was talk of attendance being up, what, like 40% or some huge amount.
I think it was even closer to 50. I mean,
yeah, it was 40-something.
And we're talking resort-wide, not the Sound of Adventure. And I think that, like, resort-wide merchandise was up like 300%. I mean, it's just craziness. I think even they just didn't have a clue. And if they didn't have a clue that it was going to be that nuts, I really don't think Disney did. And, of course, secretly, Disney probably didn't want them to do very well, of course.
Sure. So Disney decides to counter with something big and bold, too, and they came up with what?
Well, you know, first they're redoing the whole Fantasyland to the tune of like $1 billion. And everyone said, oh, that's Disney's answer to Harry Potter. And, you know, I don't really think so. You know what I think it is? I think it's finally an answer to 20 years of neglect.
Yeah.
You know, it's been 20 years since they've built a major attraction. It seems some days like it's been 20 years since they've maintained what they have. And so now it's just like they decided they better do something drastic to fix it. But who is going to fly their entire family across the country to go ride the new Ariel Dark Ride? That's my question.
Exactly. Well, and it's modernizing an area of the park. How do you advertise saying, hey, we've spiffed up something that's been here for 30 years?
Well, exactly. I mean, it's things that should have been done slowly, but it's like they never changed the oil in their car, and so now eventually the engine just blew up, and now they have to do something big.
So a few months ago, how many months? 3-4 months, maybe?
A month, maybe January.
They have a huge press conference with James Cameron and announced.
Out of nowhere. No one knew it was going to happen. There was no speculation, no rumors, and it was literally announced to the media like, hey, show up in Glendale in an hour. We're going to have a press conference.
Yeah.
It was literally without warning.
So they announced that Avatar is going to come to the Disney parks. Did they say specifically it's going to come to Animal Kingdom?
You know what? I think they did. I think they specifically said it's going to come to Animal Kingdom. And there's Jim Cameron, and I think it was Bob Iger, the CEO. And they're like, we can't tell you what we're building because we don't know what we're going to build yet.
And they can't say.
Even done concepts.
And they couldn't say when they were going to build it, so
like,
there
it'll
were
open
no details.
Someday, you know, there was literally nothing to it other than, you know, Avatar is going to come to Animal Kingdom, and I think the collective Disney fan community worldwide went, huh?
What exactly? I often refer to Avatar as the Blue Cat movie because they look like Blue Cat people.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, pros and cons. Good movie. Huge amount of box office draw.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's the number one movie of all time, money-wise, isn't it?
But con? I mean, how many kids do you see wearing Cars stuff or Buzz Lightyear stuff? How many kids have even heard of Avatar? I know my kids haven't.
No. My kids have heard of it because they've seen the movie box at Best Buy and asked me what it was, but they've certainly never watched it because they're not old enough to watch it, and it's not really on their conscience.
And a quick reset about coming to Animal Kingdom versus another park. Animal Kingdom originally pitched fantasy areas too. If you look at the current and you know the logo that they've had for the last 12 years, 14 years, however old the park is, it has animals and a dinosaur and a dragon. So they were going to have some kind of fantasy world, and they cheaped out at one point and eliminated that from the park. So
they publicly announced that it was, you know, years before it opened, there was going to be a land called Beastly Kingdom. And it was going to be dragons and unicorns. There exists officially in print beautiful concept artwork for the land and the attractions. And the funny story is that this is kind of like mid-90s when they decide the money's not going to be there in phase one to build the land. So they can a bunch of guys they had working for them. Universal's working on their new park. Universal gobbles those guys up, and suddenly Universal gets a dragon roller coaster that is awfully similar to the dragon roller coaster plan for Animal Kingdom. I mean, when you look at the art and the story, they pretty much lifted that sucker right from Animal Kingdom and stole it.
Dueling Dragons, which is now known as, what's the current name
of it? Dragon Challenge.
That's right. It's been rebranded in, as part of Harry Potter's world. So,
but, you know, if I may, the collective Disney people, fans around the world, kind of went, what? And there's not a whole lot of excitement. The only thing good a lot of people seem to say is that, well, you know, if you give the Imagineers enough money, like Tokyo Disney Sea, they could build a beautiful land themed to whatever the planet on Avatar is. Imagineers enough money, they can do anything. Of course, a lot of people don't have faith that the Imagineers are going to be given enough money, like California Adventure a decade ago, to do any good. But, so, anyway, to cut to the chase, there have been a lot of strong rumors in the last week coming from people that tend to deliver rumors that prove true, that this whole thing's already been canned. Done.
And the support for that is nobody has said a word about it, essentially, it was announced.
Any channels of information there were have just gone silent for the last month. Disney's made some press releases about the future of Walt Disney World, and the Avatar thing has been completely absent. And, you know, the rumor is that this was a decision made by top-level company executives, literally on a whim. Like, a guy goes, we should bring Avatar to Animal Kingdom. And he calls James Cameron and says, let's do it. Jim Cameron says, okay. And 2 days later, there's a press release or a press conference. And a lot of the Imagineers and then even the Parks and Resorts people, you know, people that actually are in charge of theme parks, went, what? We didn't know about this. So that's not a good way to get a project going. And then the other rumor is that what has already happened is what killed the deal, potential deal between Disney and J.K. Rowling for Harry Potter, is that the whole reason that deal never went through is because they could never accept the level of control she wanted over the project. And the rumor was now that they're actually getting down to business and not just saying, hey, let's do this with Jim Cameron, he wants a lot of control over the project, and they just can't go with it. I don't kind of understand that, because look how it worked out for Harry Potter.
Well, that's true. And the rumor is
an easy arrangement to have someone who can literally veto the brand of toilet paper in the restroom.
That's just it. And the rumor is that J.K. Rowling can essentially walk into Universal at any time, to infinity and say, I want this changed, and the park has to do it. I mean,
that's not rumor. That's fact, and you can see it for yourself in some of the paperwork they filed with the SEC.
Okay.
I haven't seen it. I don't care to read it, but I've heard that, you know, there have been people in college courses looking at that agreement, because it's an incredible agreement, basically saying that she can go and demand any change. They have to do it in 10 days, or she pulls the license
And if you haven't been following the Universal story, Universal is going to expand the Harry Potter world, most likely into the Universal Studios side versus the current Islands of Adventure side. And they've had a big press conference, and it's widely been known that it's also coming to Universal Hollywood the park.
Yeah.
So there's going to be even more of it. So, so if you ran Disney, what would you do? Would you pursue the Blue Cats? Would you expand a current park? Would you brush up one of the current parks like they're doing with Tomorrowland? What would be your take on how to combat this?
Okay, well, that's a good thing, because, you know, I've been to Disney World here countless times. I've been to California a couple times. I've been to Tokyo once. So I've seen kind of the best and the worst. And the truth is, across the board, as much as it pains me to say it, because it's my home park, Disney World comes in third in most areas.
Wow.
In terms of maintenance, you know, quality, a lot of things. And it's very easy to argue that they need to fix what they have first, you know, that it's been, you know, most parks, it's been 5 to 10 years since they've had a major e-ticket attraction.
Sure.
There are a lot of things that need fixed or spruced up. You know, there are a lot of, people will argue that the parks need completed, you know. They need to, you know, add another e-ticket and a nighttime thing to Animal Kingdom. They need to expand the studios. A lot of people argue those two parks are still not full-day parks. But, you know, let's forget about that. Let's pretend that that's not on the table, and we need to build a big thing to directly answer Harry Potter. For me, I can sum it up in two words. Star Wars. Of course, they have Star Tours.
Star Tours, which has recently been redone.
It's incredible, and it's very popular. And then they have the Star Wars weekends every summer at Disney Hollywood Studios. And that is the most nuts, insane thing ever. I love it. But, you know, you have, you know, thousands of the Star Wars nerds lining up at 1 a.m. to get their tickets to meet, you know, the assistant sound director for Clone Wars or whatever, I don't know, or whatever the celebrity is.
Obviously, Star Wars is popular. Walk down any toy aisle of Target and you could see Star Wars toys. You could see Disney toys. You're not seeing any Avatar toys. No. So obviously the Star Wars brand is big, and there's an existing relationship. So
exactly. Well, you have to remember that Star Tours, which is, you know, 25 or whatever years old now, was not the first thing they ever did. I mean, there's been a lot of things Lucas and Disney's done together. They did Captain EO. They did Star Tours. They did Indiana Jones Adventure. Alien Encounter. They've done a lot of stuff together, but I'll try to quickly make my point as to why I think that Avatar is foolish and Star Wars is the way to go. Number one is that proven longevity. Star Wars is, what, 35 years old?
Yeah, and they're still cranking them out.
Yeah. Avatar, people are afraid it's going to suffer the same fate as was The Matrix. You know, great first movie, big smashing business, and the second and
sequels
third one.
Stink.
You know, and the second one's not even coming out for like another 3.5 years, which I don't understand. So number two, proven cross-generational appeal. My 2-year-old loves Star Wars. Our almost 70-year-old dad loves Star Wars. You know, name a lot of other franchises that are that loved by multiple generations. Can't say that about Avatar. Like we already said, the kids don't even know what it is. Number three, diversity of characters. There's a lot of, you know, diversity in the aliens and the characters, and bad guys and good guys in Star Wars. And didn't Avatar just have the blue cats and then, like, military guys?
I can't remember anything about Avatar.
It looked beautiful. I don't remember a whole lot other than it was just fantasy.
Well, on my argument with the plot, every time that they tried to have a plot instead of just pretty visuals, I said, yeah, I've seen this already. It was called Dances with Wolves.
Exactly. As well as like 3 other movies, apparently.
Yeah.
And then and this is, you know, one of Potter's big things, diversity of merchandise.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of junk you can sell for Star Wars, you know, with costumes and lightsabers and stuff. I mean, visit the merchandise tent on Star Wars weekend. It has a crazy long line. What are they going to sell for Avatar? You know, plush blue cats and...
As somebody that owns... at least one Lego Star Wars set. Yeah, I'm
well,
living
how many
proof.
Lego Avatars?
Okay, so if again, you're running the show, dream scenario, do you bring in a new venture like that, or do you transplant something? Do you bring Cars Land to Florida? Do you bring Tokyo's Disney Sea to Florida? And at this point, your development's done. You're just building a copy of another
ride.
Well,
that's a good question. I mean, I think there's 3 things they could do. Number one, and this is, if I was in charge and I had all kinds of money, I'd build a big, giant Star Wars land at Hollywood Studios. And I think that the attractions could almost write themselves. You know, the movies are so rich with things that could be easily turned into different attractions. Number two, like you said, they're building this big, giant Cars Land out in California, and the Radiator Springs Racers looks absolutely incredible. I think it's supposed to be even more expensive than Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. Why not just copy that sucker and bring it to the studios? Because exactly. I don't think there's a whole lot of worry about competition between the two coasts. They tend to service completely different markets. Number three, if we're talking about Animal Kingdom, what do we do to fix Animal Kingdom? I would lift the entire Mysterious Island area from Tokyo Disney Sea and plop it right down there in Camp Minnie Mickey, where they were going to probably do Avatar. You have the Journey to the Center of the Earth attraction, which is still very kind of fantastical in nature, not super real. You know, there's no big lava monsters living in the center of the planet. Kind of fits
that the, you know of.
Yeah, kind of fits the whole fantasy theme. There's the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, which is much more fantasy-like than the one that used to be at Magic Kingdom. It's much more fantasy-like. And I think that's where there's like a kind of a Star Tours-esque ride called Storm Runner. But, you know, that lushly themed land just would be so awesome. And Journey to the Center of the Earth is one of the greatest rides ever. So it just seems that, you know, even if you didn't want to take on a giant Star Wars land, there's two existing things that could just literally copy and paste. I know it's not quite that easy, but I almost think that, you know, I think it'd be better than Avatar.
Well, I will give Disney credit that they've done a lot of new things, and they're spending a lot of money to fix Disney's California Adventure, and they're spending a good amount of money to spruce up at least the Magic Kingdom in Florida. It'll be curious. I'm with you. I agree that Avatar is dead. That was a whim, and that was a press conference that they should have never had. But we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah, and we need to be clear. That's still just a rumor. But,
true.
You know, I've been doing this long enough and been on the internet for long enough, even though I'm not quite as plugged in as I used to be before I, you know, had a family and stuff. Sometimes it's easy to sniff out those that seem like they might be true and some that seem like they're just rumor and nothing more. And as of now, I'm willing to believe there might be some truth behind that rumor. And one last thing is that Disney has a history of announcing big giant things that never get done. The most infamous was they announced the Disney Decade in the 90s. So like 89, they announced like literally everything they were going to do in the 90s. And they announced all kinds of giant things, you know, huge expansions for all the theme parks and rides. You know, here's the new Muppet ride we're going to build at Hollywood Studios, and then we're going to build this, you know, big, you know, Lion King ride at Magic Kingdom or something. I don't remember. They announced tons of stuff, showed concept art. You know, it was incredible. It was every Disney fan's dream come true, and almost none of it got built.
Wow.
So
we'll see. Well, we'll see what happens with that. This is not a Disney podcast. We're going to do a lot of other things in the amusement park industry that aren't Disney related. But this was enough news or lack of news this week that I thought it would be interesting to cover the topic. Jeff, here's the part where I surprise you. We're going to talk about music on this podcast.
Okay.
I want you to pick one song, one track that I have never heard of that I need to listen to. I'll give you one, and then you give me one. So either an artist that I don't know that I should, or something from an artist that I've never heard that I need to look up.
Okay, I'm going to play it easy and safe then. And I'm going to go with a track off of the brand new Van Halen album. Van Halen with David Lee Roth. The first time they've recorded since, like, I was in diapers. And, of course, I'm a big giant Van Halen fan. They released a single a month or two ago, and I think the collective response of every Van Halen fan on the planet was, well, that's disappointing. Hmm. I found it extremely disappointing. I thought, man, if that's the single, that's the lead track off the album, maybe they just should have stayed in retirement. But boy, was I wrong. Every other track off the record is fantastic. It's, you know, I'd written Eddie Van Halen off 15 years ago, and that pains me because he's kind of my perennial favorite guitar player and the reason I play guitar. But I just love it, and probably my favorite one is a fun track called Stay Frosty, and it's just the classic David Lee Roth shtick. It's a rockin' track, but they've somehow managed to make that classic 1978 Van Halen debut record sound and style seem modern and fresh in 2012. And that's probably my favorite track. And, you know, a lot of people aren't even giving this album a shot, especially, even though it's, you know, it's doing great business and the tour's doing great. But, you know, how many of that is fans like me? But a lot of people heard that first single and said, eh, I don't think probably bothered to listen to the rest of the album.
Don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge an album by its single, I guess.
Yeah, because, you know, the artists aren't the one choosing the single. You know, some suit trying to decide what's most commercial and what's going to sell the most. And you know what? That single called Tattoo probably is the most straightforward and commercial. But to me, out of the 13 tracks, it's a distant 13th place.
Okay. Well, I will do my best to put a link to that on the show notes. I'm going out in left field for an artist you probably have never heard of. It's a group from the United Kingdom called Elbow. And I will save the backstory of how I discovered them, but I listened to a famous artist who covered some other artists, and he covered the song, and I love it. And so I just went to YouTube and typed in the name of the song and found them performing this with the symphony orchestra, with the BBC choir at Abbey Road Studio. So a cool song with orchestra, with a chorus, where the Beatles did their work. It was just such a neat collection. So I will put that on the show notes too.
Cool. Well, next time I'll do one that no one who's listening will have ever heard of.
I think that's going to be. And again, my apologies for the lousy audio. We're still working on how to exactly where to position the satellite to link Jeff's studio with my studio.
Exactly.
That's the humor part. But thanks for the Disney stuff. Thanks for the music
stuff.
Maybe
we'll talk non-Disney next time.
I think we need to talk non-Disney stuff next time because there's a lot of new rides. What do you think? Talking about B&M's new X Coaster? You want to debate?
Oh, yeah, the Wing Rider thing they're doing?
Yeah, you want to argue if that's good or bad?
Sure.
All right, there you go. So stay tuned next week if I don't stammer too much. Stay tuned next week when Jeff and I have the arguments. The new B&M design, yes or no? Cool. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Before we go too far, I want to follow up with a few things that Jeff said. First of all, the audio stinks, and I know there were these nice fart noises. Those were a symptom of Skype, not from Jeff. He mentioned Hollywood Studios a couple times in the interview. Formerly, that was Disney's MGM Studios, but now it's Disney's Hollywood Studios, if you're not familiar with that. The other thing, he talked about music. He's the guy that's playing the guitar at the beginning and the end of this episode. So first of all, I need to thank him for letting me use that music. Second of all, he did that 12 years ago, so a young kid almost, and pretty impressive guitar work. Although interesting that he goes from that to picking Van Halen for his music pick this week. My music pick, I never gave you the track name. It's Mirror Ball. Mirror Ball, all one word, by Elbow. It's from, I think it was the Seldom Seen Kid album. Just fantastic. Look that one up. Now it's the portion of the podcast that's shameless self-promotion. What's new with CoasterGallery.com? Well, I'll give you a hint. If you're part of the CoasterGallery.com group on Facebook, really easy, Facebook.com/CoasterGallery. Or if you look up Coaster Gallery or friend me on G+, you've already seen what's coming this week to Coaster Gallery. I'm working on Tivoli Freinden. I don't know how to pronounce it. Forgive me for not speaking Danish. But this amusement park has four coasters, and they're all surrounded by these giant plexiglass walls. Tivoli Freinden, or Freedom in English, has the only inverted coaster built by an Italian firm called Settiori, I believe is how you pronounce it. It's a little suspended coaster with three inversions, cute little ride, and like I said, the only one of its kind. So if you're on the Facebook or if you're on the Google Plus, you've already seen the preview. If you're not, and it's still the middle of March 2012, you'll just have to be patient a little bit. I give the folks that have friended me and are added me in the G Plus circles a little preview. If you're listening to this in April 2012 or later, well, just go to the CoasterGallery.com homepage, click on Tivoli Freinden, not Tivoli Gardens, that's coming next. Check out the pictures. Speaking of the shameless plugs, join me on CoasterGallery.com or Facebook, or send me an email at joel@CoasterGallery.com. Let me know your thoughts about how the website is going. Let me know your thoughts more specifically about this podcast. What do you want to hear? What don't you want to hear that we've done so far? This is still new. We're still learning. I want to hear from you. What would make you really appreciate this podcast? Well, I appreciate you listening. Thanks for listening, and I hope you listen next week for the next episode of the CoasterGallery.com podcast. What are we going to do next week? I don't know. Depends what I hear from you. Whatever you do this week, go ride some coasters. Go take some pictures. Just have fun.
Okay, so I think you are recording.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It's a little early still for me.
I understand.